This week, we've all been reminded of 9/11. And I'm quite sure you all remember just as I do what you were doing 17 years ago on that tragic day. As those days of horror unfolded, I tried to capture and put into words my thoughts and emotions. Every year, I reread those words, tears fill my eyes, and even though the horror and the sorrow of that day flood my soul, I don't ever want to forget. So the weekly word you will hear this week will be the words that I wrote 17 years ago. I feel an unbelievably strong urging to write the experiences of the past 10 days of my life. September the 10th, 2001 through September 19th, 2001. Much of it is becoming an emotional blur, and I'm afraid I won't be able to remember the depth of my sorrow, my disbelief, and my indescribable sadness if I don't capture it on paper. At this moment, I'm seated in row 15, seat F on Continental Airline Flight 1242, departing San Antonio, Texas. My brother-in-law drove me to the airport this morning after another sleepless day and night in the hospital with my sweet mama. Time in a hospital room with a loved one, feeling their pain and being slapped in the face with the fact that we have so little power, if any, over anyone or anything, particularly life and death, can certainly create a feeling of helplessness. During this same window of time, I was introduced to terror, sheer terror. It was September the 11th, 2001, and as I walked into the ICU waiting room at Sid Peter Smith Hospital in Kerrville, Texas, I glanced at the large screen of the television mounted on the wall. I remember feeling as if my eyes were struggling to transmit what they were seeing to my brain, or maybe my eyes were doing their job and my brain was rejecting the horror of what my eyes were seeing. I just don't know. But I was unable to move. The World Trade Center towers in New York City engulfed in billowing smoke. The word live flashing in the top corner of the television screen. Then the feeling of utter horror as the silhouette of a plane flew directly into the tower. A huge fireball explosion. And then, as I stood there in total disbelief, those magnificent towers disintegrated within themselves. From dust we came and to dust we shall return seemed to just flash across my mind. As I was beginning to grasp the horrific images, I was seeing another plane flew into the Pentagon, our military headquarters. My mind raced as I thought of the White House being attacked. My White House, where my president lives. Oh no, not the White House, not the soul of our country. This evil enemy had deliberately waited for our television cameras to get in place after striking the first tower so I would see their second hit. They wanted me to see it, me and millions of my American friends. It's not over. Oh no, there's another plane that's been taken over by hijackers. They're murdering us with our own planes, in our own cities, with our live television coverage. We're told later about the other plane and the brave crew and passengers who overpowered the hijackers and in so doing lost their lives as the plane crashed deep into our American soil. We have reports of passengers making cell phone calls and telling their loved ones what was happening and what they were planning to do and then their final goodbyes. We learned later that this plane was headed for our White House. Our president has made a total commitment to wipe out these terrorists. Days of prayer, days of mourning, heroism beyond our imagination being shown hourly on the same television screen that displayed the carnage only hours earlier. Funerals, patriotism, speeches of determination to resolve, speeches to comfort, speeches of gratitude, and slowly you could begin to hear the heartbeat of this magnificent country begin to beat again. faintly in the first few moments, but with each hour that passes, that heartbeat becomes stronger, sometimes skipping beats as more body parts are removed from the carnage, and as we begin to realize that the very air that was being breathed by the thousands of volunteers was filled with the cremated bodies of those who had burned up. Again, our nation had to pause as our souls absorbed the evil. 3,000 men and women who had awakened to the sounds of their alarms, dressed, gone to their offices, and then within minutes of arriving, entered into eternity, never again to be seen, but to always be remembered. Their deaths, their senseless deaths, have stirred within the souls of the American people a passion, a renewed sense of pride in our country, the greatest country in the world. It was as if the heartbeat is beginning now to pound. It's racing. It feels as if it will explode, but it won't. It won't explode. No, it will grow stronger and stronger as we again begin to exercise our rights to stand up for what is moral and good, to dust off the Bibles that contain the answers to peace and to joy, to adorn ourselves with the courage and the boldness that once were the distinguishing marks of an American. Christians are coming out of the closet. Satan, what you meant for evil, God will use for good. We're claiming our victory over you, the victory that Jesus Christ won 2,000 years ago. 10 days have now passed. My precious mother is still alive. She so wants to go to be with the Lord, but her little heart has kicked back in. Her body is so sick, diabetes, arthritis, pneumonia, heart failure, kidney failure, osteoporosis. She's so frail and weak, but she's proud. She's brave. So many doctors are working to save her, so she told them she'll keep on keeping on if that's what they tell her to do. When I kissed her goodbye in her hospital room this morning, I knew I might never see her again on this earth. But I knew that I would see her in heaven, where we would spend all eternity together. She's at peace. I'm at peace with Mama. I am not at peace within my own soul. I want to make a difference. I don't know what that looks like, but today as I walked into a deserted San Antonio airport, I felt a strange sense of courage. I've never felt courageous entering an airport before. But today is different. Every piece of luggage being searched. Men and women standing guard everywhere with pistols and bayonets. A strange hush. Many uniformed pilots and flight attendants, but very, very few passengers. I'm wearing my best pantsuit and the most confident smile I can muster up. I'm wanting to say to everyone who will have eye contact with me that I'm proud to be flying. It seems to be my only way of saying, you can't take away my freedom with your acts of terror. You cannot bind me with fear. I've thought about what I would do if I were on the plane with a terrorist. I pray I would be brave and bring honor to my God. I carried my Bible on the plane. Read it, prayed, and I just kept thinking how those passengers must have felt as they were being terrorized. Oh, Father, have mercy on us. Give us courage. Forgive us for being so complacent. I don't know what my future will be. I don't know how my life will be different, but I do know I will never be the same. And sweet friends, those are the words I wrote. And I can truly tell you that I have never been the same. I love you. Talk to you next week. Bye.